Hello, welcome back to Relationship Recipes. This is your host Krimcat, and I'm excited as usual. I'm so happy to be back with episode 75. Can you believe that? I mean, I can remember when this pod started, and now we are at 75. Wow. I mean, that is at least 75 times 10. So we're talking 750 minutes of content, you know, wisdom. A little bit of banter. And then love, yeah, because love is what spurs me to share all of that with you. And I hope it's been a good journey for you. If you're just joining us, welcome. You're in the right place, and we're excited to have you. And we're hoping that we build community with you, that we do this journey, and then we grow together and learn from each other. So yeah, cheers. Last week we started the conversation of standards, boundaries, and expectations, and I kind of just stayed on why, like, boundaries and standards and having, you know, expectations are really very important, especially because we have a generation that kind of feels like it's like a restraint when we talk about boundaries. It's like, my god, oh, cage. But no, it's not necessarily that. I tried to explain that in the first installment of this conversation. If you haven't listened, you can go back and listen, and I'm sure you're going to learn a thing or two. And in this conversation, I'm just going to be diving in on some integral things that I think you should set boundaries around, the kind of standards to have, expectations to communicate, and all of that good stuff. So hey, stay tuned. So what are standards? Standards are like a parameter or benchmark that you set for yourself, and oftentimes set for other people in the way you interact with them. So what I think birth standards are expectations. So you have an expectation of what a relationship should look like, or what a friendship should look like, and so you set standards around those expectations. And it is born usually by an integral understanding and appreciation of two things: number one, who you are, and number two, what you desire. Oftentimes, when people set standards and they're unrealistic, it's because there's no congruence between these two things, who they are and what they desire. But when you have that clear and caught, then it kind of reflects in the quality of standards that you set. And one of the very basic things I always like to say when I'm talking about standards, especially when it has to do with relationships, is the fact that you don't set standards that you haven't held yourself up to. So you don't go tell people, you know, that, okay, this is the kind of person I would deal with in a relationship. I want integrity. Integrity means a lot to me, blah, blah, blah. And you're not a person of integrity. It's very crucial that if you're going to be demanding any form of standards or having any expectations from people, you're able to meet them yourself. So this means that you have to first be held up to the standards you set before you can try to hold other people up to them. You can't say, okay, I want a hardworking person and you're lazy. You can say, I want kindness in a relationship, and every time there's some sort of an argument and tension, you're the most unkind person. You must build the kind of character you are demanding from others in yourself first. Now, coming back to the conversation of standards and how they are fueled by who you are and what you desire, the psychology of how that works is that you don't behave contrary to, how do I put that now? You don't behave contrary to what you say you expect. So the fact that you know that, oh, I want this and this is the standard I've set, means that there's something you don't want and there's something you don't expect. So when you start to find people falling short and start to find yourself in situations where you're not meeting up to your standards, you should be able to say, no, like, that's not what I want, and be able to walk away from it. So understanding who you are and what you want means that you also understand who you are not and what you don't want. So having that clear understanding gives you the ability to say no, because what I'm seeing here is not what I want. So you have the you learn how to say no to what you don't want, what you don't desire, and that's very, very important in this conversation, because as much as you know who you are, know what you want, it should also spur you to establish and understand who you are not and what you don't want. So the next thing I want to talk about in conversation about standards is self-respect. Self-respect is the way you regard yourself and the way you hold yourself to a certain level of esteem and treat yourself. And one thing about self-respect is the fact that it is discernible. Other people can perceive how you regard yourself. That's why people can say, oh, you don't should have some respect for yourself, because it can be discerned by others. They can see that, oh, this person either respects or they don't respect themselves. So it's actually discernible, and it follows how people respond to you and treat you as well. Because if they can discern that you have self-respect, which is oftentimes communicated in kind of self-esteem they rate you to have, then they also like, oh, this person, like, you know, values themselves and treats themselves with respect, and it kind of brings that respect or attracts that kind of respect from other people. Oftentimes we bounce off the kind of vibes people give us, so it's first off coming from you. People try to rate you, try to have a mental like gauging of who you are, and then they treat you the way you've communicated yourself. Oftentimes when people don't do that, it's usually not a you thing, it's usually a them thing. So the higher you have value, the higher your values are, the more you see yourself in a better light, in a higher light, you know, the more you'd hold yourself to higher standards, and it will reflect in the self-image you're portraying, the self-respect you are conveying, and then it will now reflect in the kind of way you're treated in relationships, and especially even in romantic relationships, or people who are trying to see if they could date you or they could have a relationship with you. It kind of guards and just places boundaries, right? So self-respect is very, very, very important. And as I said, the conversation of standards starts with the fact that you hold yourself to certain standards before they become, you know, standards you're holding other people to. And when you hold yourself to those standards, they kind of establish boundaries around which you navigate your relationships with others. And that's kind of like an intro. So I did talk about the fact that standards are fueled by an integral understanding of who you are and what you really want from life and from love and from relationships. And then I did talk about the fact that you cannot ask for what you can't give. So standards start with you holding them up, and then before you can now move to the place where you're saying, you know what, I'm going to demand it from other people. And then the next thing I'm going to be talking, and the next thing I said was about self-respect, but next thing we're going to be talking about is the areas around which you should have standards and you should set boundaries, especially when you are in a dating relationship, especially because in 21st century dating is just trying to find out, you know, if this person work or not. So it's a very dicey territory, and you have to be very wise, you have to be guarded, and very importantly, you have to set boundaries. So the very first thing I think people should have standards and set boundaries around is access. What do I mean by access? Access is entry, permission, you know, how many doors. It's just like saying someone comes to a house, how many rooms can they enter in freely? That's access, you know. If they can only sit in the living room, that's the level of access they have. If they can move from the living room, in a typical Nigerian home, if you can get into the kitchen, that's a significant level of access, because it means, oh, we kind of like, you know, see you as some sort of family, right? And then if you can get into some bedrooms, that's a high level of access. And now very few people ever get into the master. That's significant level of access. So you've got to regulate your life in that manner and know the kind of access you give to who, and that should be based on the kind of how you've defined that relationship. And that's why you have to be very conscious and not passive in the way you deal and navigate through relationships. Different dimensions of access are regulated largely by communication and the level of information these people have about you. So the level of information and the level of communication they enjoy from you is what kind of determines the level of access they belong to when it comes to you. You can't say, okay, I'm just getting to know somebody and they know some certain kind of information about you. I mean, you're not saying that, okay, you're going to date somebody and you're going to hide significant information about yourself. No. But then at the level of relationship that you have, they shouldn't have a certain level of access. They shouldn't have some information about you. They shouldn't be communicating with you at a particular level. So two things that really regulate and define the access level of different people in different contexts of relationship is, number one, the kind of communication they're having, and number two, the kind of information they have about you. So the next thing I believe people should set boundaries around and, you know, have standards is clearly defining the roles of people in their lives. And I feel like people have a problem with doing this. I think from the millennials, they kind of started to be more intentional about defining roles in their lives around their relationships and Gen Z, but it's still not very strong and solid. So people have a problem saying, oh, that's not my friend, that's an acquaintance. People feel offended when you're defining and you're saying, oh, well, like, we're not guys like that, so I don't think we're friends. But then you have to be courageous enough to set standards in your life that say, okay, for me to call you a friend, you must be this, this, this. I must accept you. It must be a mutual agreement. You know, it's not a passive thing. We just don't become friends passively. It's an active, you know, process. So you've got to set standards, right? You don't just, okay, because we went out, I met you on a trip and we bonded over, doesn't make us like besties. Friendship is a more intentional act, is a more active process. So you've got to set boundaries. And when you're now coming into the context of romantic relationships and dating, what validates someone, you know, to be called your boyfriend or be called your girlfriend? You know, how do you define the roles? Nobody should feel like who they are not in your life, right? I feel like when people start to feel like, oh, I feel this person likes me, or like this person is my boyfriend, or this person is my girlfriend, and then that's not where the other person is at, I feel like it's a function or is a product of misplaced boundaries. So if boundaries are not well set, you'll have people thinking they are who they are not in another person's life. And you must understand that you have to set boundaries if you're going to be able to have productive kind of relationships with people. People shouldn't think they are who they are not in your life. It should be very defined, right? True actions and, very importantly, true words. Now, a lot of people go ahead and say, okay, we're not dating, I don't think we're dating, blah 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 blah, we're just friends. But their actions don't say they're just friends. And I think that when you have an action that is counteracting what you have said, people don't take you seriously. So it's just like saying, we're just getting to know each other, we're not dating. But then the things you're beginning to do, like, paint the picture of someone who's dating. So now when you talk to someone else and you say, okay, we're not dating, we're just friends, or we're just getting to know each other, the other person might just not take you seriously because they feel like, and that's not the action that what we're doing looks like. Or let me put it in a more simple way for you to understand. When you say we're just friends and we're not in a relationship, and these are the boundaries I have set for people who are just friends or I'm just getting to know, and you consistently break those boundaries, you are not going to be taken seriously. You're going to come off as a joke, as someone who doesn't really know what they want, right? So you must define roles in your life in every sphere and be very, very clear about it. Another place where I feel people should have standards and have boundaries, you know, because it's dicey and it's very, 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 you know, life is not the way it used to be. So you have to have boundaries and have standards around money. You want to have a level playing field, right? Pre-relationship, don't stretch it. Money is very important. Money is crucial, and I feel like it has a big role to play in relationships. Yeah, you can't say, okay, you know, I'm not in a relationship with this person, so I can't. See, you like someone, you spend on them, you spend with them, right? So I think one thing you must do is to set boundaries. And if you're not, let's say, probably in an official committed romantic relationships, make sure what you're doing for that person is what you do for all your other friends, so that it doesn't hurt you when you feel like you invested so much and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. So if you're going to buy, you take them out, buy drinks, let it be something you do for all your other friends, so that when it feels like, oh, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out, you're not going to feel bad, or you're not going to feel extra pained, largely because you already treated them like you treated every other person. Do you understand? So just level the playing field. And when people are not yet officially, you know, in committed context, keep it very plain, keep it very leveled. It really helps you so that you don't feel cheated, or you don't feel like you have wasted an investment. Another thing I like to say is, don't just be a taker, be a giver, regardless of social class. So imagine if you're dating maybe you're low middle class and you're dating top most, you know, 1% of the 1%, and they seem to, you know, be the ones lavishing, spending. Don't be that person in that context who just takes and never gives. Regardless of how you perceive what you're giving to be a giver, right? Be a giver. Nobody wants to stay around someone who feels like a leech. So always give, and let it come genuinely. Let them know that you're giving from what you have. And oftentimes, when you do that, it's very appreciated if you're dealing with someone who has sense. So it's appreciated. So around money, you have to have a certain level of giving. Don't just be a taker. Last thing I'll say around money and setting boundaries is your mindset. Oftentimes, one thing you find with people who, you know, I'm an advocate for people marrying and dating within their social classes, right? But then when you find, you know, cross social class relationships, one thing that you find is that people in the lower social class kind of feel insecure and, you know, doubt their value, and it shows in the way they carry themselves within the context of the relationship. They feel like they're not so much because they don't have so much. No, you must recognize and respond to yourself with value regardless of your social class. Don't see yourself as less, because when you start to see yourself as less, you start to take the shorter end of the stick unconsciously and start to put yourself in a position to be treated the way however which way, because you feel like, oh my god, I don't have so much, or oh my god, I'm not all that, or oh my god, I don't bring so much to the table. You must value yourself beyond your bank account, right? You must value yourself intricately by who you know you are, what you can bring to the table, what you have the potential of becoming, and all the value that you carry within you. So yeah, I think people need to set boundaries around that, and you need to, it's a function of who you are and what you really desire. So yeah, that's gonna be the end of this pod. I'm excited. I'm not going to tell you specific things, obviously, because as I said, it's around who you are and what you desire. So that's gonna help you, and it's gonna be a really amazing time as you learn to set boundaries and don't live like a city without walls. you shouldn't, it's not going to be healthy for you. So thank you for listening. I'm so excited. I hope you learned a thing or two. Share with me some of your boundaries in the Q&A session of Spotify. Please rate the podcast, subscribe to it if you aren't, share with someone, you know, that needs to listen to this podcast and you think it's gonna do good dose of help to them. You want to share the podcast, and hey, let's link up. Send me an email, send me a DM on Instagram. I'll be so excited to engage you. This is me leaving you lots of love, all the best in this new week, and have an amazing week. See you next weekend. Lots of love and light. Bye.